Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Judges, chapter 7, beginning with the first verse. This is our first lesson for today, this 14th Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, it was February 1836 when Commander William B. Travis told his roughly 200 men that they were all going to die. They were in the Alamo, that little mission in the middle of Texas in what is now San Antonio. And Santa Anna, the Mexican general, had the place surrounded with his roughly 2,000 men. They could have snuck out in the middle of the night and saved themselves, but they didn't. The 200 men, including Travis, including the co-commander, James Bowie, and the famous frontiersman, Davy Crockett, all stayed and fought. 200 against 2,000 is not a fair fight, but the Texans fought valiantly and bravely. On March 3rd, the Mexicans finally attacked, and twice the Texans drove them back. It was the third attack that day that the Mexicans finally breached the walls, and they put to death every single one inside the Alamo, even those who were trying to surrender. About 2,300 years earlier, on a different side of the world, we see another example of another famous battle in which a small army took on a much larger army and faced insurmountable odds. It was King Xerxes of Persia invading Greece. Herodotus, the ancient historian, says that there are in between 1.5 million and 2 million soldiers of Persia. Now, modern historians say it's probably closer to 150,000 to 300,000 soldiers. Against this large army, no matter how you look at it, was King Leonidas with 100 Spartans, along with some other soldiers from an alliance of the Greek city-states that equaled probably about 7,000. They met the Persians at a place called Thermopylae, a little land mass in between the sea and a mountain range. And because it was such a small area, that limited the effect or minimized the effect of the large Persian army. For 2 days, the Greeks fought hard and killed many Persians. But then there was a traitor who let the Persians know about a back way behind this area that allowed the Persians to outflank the Greeks. King Leonidas, knowing that he had been outflanked, sent the majority of his army away to flee to fight another day. While he and his 300 Spartans and a roughly 1,200 more fought against hundreds of thousands of Persian soldiers. They held them off long enough for the rest of the army to get away, but in the end, Leonidas and all his men died. Two famous battles. A relatively small army facing off against a much larger army. They faced insurmountable odds and yet displayed bravery and fought valiantly and took out a large number of enemies. We too face insurmountable odds on a daily basis. Every day we face a battle. We face a battle against our sinful nature. There are two parts of a Christian. There is the new man who loves Christ, the new man who loves God and loves His Word and wants to do what God commands. And then there's the old man, the sinful nature, who hates Christ, the old man who wants nothing to do with God, who can't stand God's Word, the part of us that wants to go out and do what we want to do. To go out and have fun, or to sleep in, or to work more, or to do whatever it is other than obey God and His Word. as we grow in our faith, we are able to win this battle more and more. But even then, we still fail in this battle. We still fall to our simple nature time and time again. Even the Apostle Paul admitted that he failed to win this battle constantly. He says in Romans 7, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, nor the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. He describes this as a war raging on the inside of him. A war between his sinful nature and his new creation. A battle we often lose. Many times, the enemies that we face are ourselves, or they often come in the form of friends and family. They try to get us to do something instead of attend worship or read God's Word. Oh, they want you to go out and have some fun, to live a little. Do what makes you happy. Just do whatever you want, and don't worry about what someone wrote in some Bible thousands of years ago. The thing is, we want our friends to remain friends. We want to be close to our family members. We don't want to make them angry or upset. We still want to do things with them. So we compromise here and we compromise there, doing stuff with them instead of God and His Word. We want the best of both worlds. But soon we realize that we've lost the battle as we compromise God and His Word more than anything else. We also face pressure from society. Society which tries to force us into what they believe about sexuality and love and gender identity, just to name a few hot topics of today. We feel that we're pretty good when it comes to those type of things. It seems that we in the Wells are one of the only few church bodies left in America that are sticking to God's Word when it comes to these social issues. And yet, we become worn down, tired. After years and years of fighting this battle, it could be that we just lost our desire to fight this battle again and again. We see it so often, TVs, movies, and whatever, it seems as if we're almost indifferent to seeing these horrible, wicked sins displayed in front of us. And as we talked about last week, behind all these enemies, behind all these temptations that we face, is the enemy, Satan. As we saw last week, they are in the heavenly realms, a different dimension. They're not flesh and blood. We cannot kill them. We cannot see them. The devil and his demons are more powerful, smarter, and have years of experience. We don't know how many there are, except we know that there are many. But no matter what the number, the battle against the devil, we cannot win. We don't stand a chance. We face insurmountable odds day in and day out. And the worst part of it is, if we lose this battle, we sin. Worst part of it is, if we lose, we don't just die physically, but we should die eternally. The Israelite army also faced insurmountable odds about 700 years before anyone ever heard of King Leonidas. Each year, the Midianites would come into Israel and plunder them and take their goods. After years and years, the Israelites complained to God, and so he raised up a leader, or he chose a leader from them, an insignificant and little-known man named Gideon. Once again, the Midianites, along with the Amalekites and some other countries east of the Jordan, came into Israel to attack. And they settled in a little valley, just southwest of the Sea of Galilee. Gideon sounded his horn and called many people to battle, and many people did join Gideon. 32,000 people, in fact. 32,000 men isn't a small army. But the Midianites, 135,000. 135,000 versus 32 is a mismatch. It's not a fair fight. It's not a level playing field. And yet, what did God say? 32,000? Way too many. So he sent anyone who was afraid, anyone who was scared to fight, was allowed to go home. And 22,000 people left, 10,000 versus 135,000. Still too many, God said. So he took them down to a spring and had them drink. And those who kneeled, those who squatted down and cupped some water in their hands and licked it up like dogs, he said, those keep. Everyone else is allowed to go home. Those that scooped up water in their hands and licked it up like dogs, 300. 300 versus 135,000. The Lord said, with the 300 men that left, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. Now, a key aspect of having a good army is having enough men to fight. Especially in the ancient world, the larger the army, the better chances you had of living. Those of the Alamo pleaded and pleaded for reinforcements, but only a few men came. King Leonidas would have loved to have hundreds of thousands of men at his disposal. But the Lord, although he is greatly outnumbered, dwindled the number down from 32,000 men to 300 men. Why? The Lord makes it clear. He did not want the Israelites to think that when the Midianites were defeated, that it was because of them. He did not want to think that because the Midianites lost, that the Israelites could rely on their own power and strength. He didn't want them to boast or to brag about their power, about their military prowess, because the victory wasn't going to be theirs. It was going to be the Lord's. In verse 7, the Lord said, I will save you. And in verse 2, he says, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. And so the Lord dwindled the number down to 300. A ridiculously small amount of men, so that there could be no way that the Israelites could take credit for themselves. No way to think that they contributed to this victory. Perhaps you remember the rest of the story. As we saw, the Midianites were laying down in the valley. And so that night, Gideon took his 300 men and split them into three companies. He gave them a lit torch, which they covered with a jug and a trumpet. And then in the middle of the night, following Gideon's lead, they broke the jugs, exposing the blazing torches, sounded the trumpets, and shouted, for the Lord and for Gideon. And they all charged down toward the Midian camp. The Midianites woke up and thought they were surrounded, and God caused them to come into confusion. Thinking they were being attacked, they started turning on each other, and they started killing each other. At daybreak, they fled. And the 300 men chased after them, and other Israelites from the towns they were running past also joined in the pursuit. By the time the Midianite army had crossed the Jordan River, they had lost 120,000 men. But Gideon and his men pursued them across the Jordan, and when they caught up to him, they soundly defeated them, devouring and destroying the entire army. 300 men killed 135,000. Not because of their own power and might, not because they were just such better fighters, but because of God. God had caused them to come into confusion. God had given them that victory. An improbable victory. The Lord also gives us that improbable victory. over our sinful nature, over the things that tempt us, over our enemies of sin, death, and the power of the devil, the Lord has won. He's already won. He has fought the battle, and every other battle, he has won the war. Not with a mighty, numerous army. Sure, he has many angels at his disposal, but this war was fought and won by a battle of one, by an army of one, Christ. Now, usually you win a war by not dying and killing more of the enemy. But Christ won this war by dying. He willingly died. Of course, he willingly died on the cross. See, he knew it wasn't a physical battle that he was fighting, but a spiritual one. So he went to the cross so that he could win that battle. By taking our sins upon himself, suffering through the eternal punishment that we deserve, removing our sins and putting them on his shoulders so that he can give us his perfect life and credit us with his perfection. So that he could take away what we couldn't have and make us what we needed to be. And as a result, the Lord has declared us not guilty. Of course, Jesus willingly died because he knew full well what he would do 3 days later. Rise from the dead. When he rose from the dead, he crushed Satan's head. Satan, who thought that he had struck the fatal blow against Christ, was now defeated for eternity. Death at Christ's resurrection was turned into something good. Christ turned the tables on death and is no longer something that is an end, but it leads to the beginning of eternal life. And since Christ paid for our sins on the cross, death has also lost its sting. We cannot defeat our sinful nature. We fail in battle again and again. And yet in Christ, we are victorious. For the Lord gives us the victory through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot defeat death on our own because we all die. But Christ gives us life, and we will live eternally when we die. We don't stand a chance against Satan and his demons who live in another realm. But with the armor of God, we are protected. And with his holy word, we can go on the offensive and bring many other people to faith. Now, in our gospel for today, Jesus talks about how the way into heaven is narrow. There are many roads that lead to eternal damnation, but one narrow road that leads to heaven. It's not that only a few are invited. All are invited. Christ wants all people to be saved. But only a few will enter. Even those people who say, Christ, we worship you. Lord, we know you. We served you. Will not enter. Christ never knew that. How could that be? Because there are many who claim to be Christians who rely on their own power, who rely on their own strength, their own works. They think that they contribute or they have rely on themselves to get to heaven based on what they do or say or what they don't do. We try to fight this battle on our own. We try to save ourselves, and we cannot. We die. Insurmountable odds. But our victory, our salvation, the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, is not ours to win, but Christ's. It is in him and in his mighty power that we have the victory. in him and him alone, received through faith in him alone, that we have this victory over all our enemies. All are invited, but few enter, and you are the few. A remnant chosen by God's grace, brought to faith, will enter into heaven eternal. The Battle of the Alamo, the Battle of Thermopylae, are two famous examples in history where small armies facing a large army, insurmountable odds. And they fought well, and eventually their countries won the war. But in both those battles, every single one of them died. When we rely on our own strength and power, our own gifts and abilities, our good works, we too will die. Not just physically, but eternally. Look at Gideon. His 300 men faced an army of 135,000. Not because they trusted in their own power and cunning, but because the Lord was with them, and the Lord had promised to give them that victory. They were confident in victory because they were confident in the Lord. We too are confident in the Lord. And so we live our lives with the assurance that Christ fights our battles and has already won the war. And since Christ is victorious, so are we. Eternal life is ours. Forgiveness has already been granted. Eternal life is assured. Death has been destroyed. We are heirs with Christ. Knowing that the Lord stands behind us, knowing that the Lord is victorious, leads us to fight those spiritual battles. It renews us and strengthens us when we face those insurmountable odds. And we strive to obey God again and again. It's a battle where we lose numerous times a day. But the war to win is not ours, but Christ. Even though we lose, in the Lord we are victorious. Because this battle is His. And in Him we live. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.